Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Father, we just bless what you're doing. We thank you for everything you're doing, God. We just want to join with you. We just love you. This is all about Jesus. We just thank you for that. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, earlier this week, how many of you went to the Todd White thing last night? There's a lot of you. Earlier this week, some of you are going to think, well, this message is because of last night, and it's not, I promise you. Earlier this week, I heard the Lord say to me on Tuesday, he said, I don't want my people to forget the power of the gospel. And it kind of stunned me as I was in a just praying and asking the Lord and thinking about, what that means. I mean, we know that the gospel is good news. It's good news, and it's meant, the good news is never meant to get dull. It's never meant to get just normal or complacent or anything like that. The power of the gospel is the power of the good news, and wherever we proclaim it, God releases his word, and it doesn't come back void. And God was just basically saying, so there's a lot of my people that have just kind of laid down some things in their lives. And because of the challenges that they've been through and the things that have come against them and so I was thinking back over my life, I remember back when I first went into counseling and in a second I remember I went through graduate school and I was supposed to get these tons of hours of practicum and internship and there just wasn't a good fit anywhere for stuff like that. And so I remember looking through the phone book one night and I was sitting on my bedroom floor and I was calling different places and saying, you got any hours you could give me? I had zero experience pretty much. I mean, just a little bit from, I just remember one of the agencies of the area, they said no. And then, I just remember shutting the phone book. I said, God, you know what? I don't really care because in all honesty, it's pretty stressful to be a counselor. It's pretty stressful to go this direction. I felt like God had called me into that, but I knew that he had called me into ministry, and I just didn't know the timeline of God. I had been selling cars, and that taught me a lot about human nature. You always remember one of the most profound things I learned about people was when I sold this one car to this one guy, and it had lost a hubcap. And we promised the hubcap and the sales price, go to Hubcap Annie's, I think it is in Elkhart or somewhere, and just get yourself a hubcap. You bring me back the bill, we'll pay for it. No big deal, right? And 2, 3, 4 weeks went by, nothing. He kept coming in, making payments and so on and so forth, and he still didn't have his hubcap. Well, one day he walked in. And it was just me. I was the only one at the car lot. I ended up, managing a lot of things. And my boss was out doing other things. He looked really mad. And I thought, wow, something's going on. Maybe the car's a lemon, his engine broke or something. And he just laid into me and he started yelling at me and cursing me out and telling me that you never gave me my hubcap. You promised me a hubcap, and I was just stunned because he had just tore me up, and then it was all about a hubcap, and I remember rising up, and that was the first time I ever stood up for myself, and I started yelling back, and I said, it's just a hubcap, if it was your engine, I would understand, or if it was a piston, or something in an internal working part, and then we yelled and shouted for a while, and then at the end I finally said, didn't I tell you that you could go get one? And he goes, yeah, you did. And then he just walked out sheepishly, and I was like, I was stunned, and it was almost like God said, this is what's going on in a lot of people out there. you know, it's not about the hubcap. That man has something from his history that stirred up. You know, why cry over spilled milk? You know, somebody takes your parking spot on the front row at the mall, they come in the wrong way, and they slip in there just ahead of you. Some of us don't even blink. We go find another one. Some of us get angry, and we, you know, we start to steam. And, so, you know, some of us grab the crowbar out of the trunk and start smashing the car. You know, it's all relative to where we've been and who we are, you know. Whatever we do usually makes sense when you unpack it all. But the power, you know, I was learning those things. And then, anyway, the story, I finally got the call back a couple days later. I shut the phone book, couldn't find anything. I said, God, I don't care what I do with my life. I'm following you. If you want me to sell cars, I will. And I got a phone call 2 days later, and this agency had a full-time therapist that just resigned. And they said, you can take her spot. And they're thinking, you know, I'm working for free. You know, for I had to get 900 hours, and so, you know, it was a perfect fit. But I got in there, and the very first three clients I had on a Monday night, I just remember, well, the first one was a fireman, and he, you know, terrible things going on in his life. He was doing a lot of things behind his wife's back, and you know, all their marriage is being ruined. The second guy, his wife of 30 years had just left, and the third one was a boyfriend and a girlfriend that were both leaving their spouses, and they wanted me to talk to their kids about how good it's going to be. And, you know, those are the first three clients I got. And to make a long story short, the fireman ended up starting to walk with God. The man whose wife left him, the second session he came in, he sobbed for half an hour, gave his heart back to God. The third one, I talked to the kids, the three little kids that said, everything's okay. You know, daddy can leave for another woman and we can split up the families and do that. And so I asked him, are you guys okay with that? I'll never forget it. Three little 9, 7, 5. You know, close to my kids' age, or, you know, my daughter's a little older, but it was like, they're like, yeah, we're okay. They were taught that it was supposed to be okay. And then I said, are you really okay? And I'll never forget it. They were trying so hard not to cry. But they all at the same time had streams of tears right at the same time coming down their faces. And I'm staring at them and I'm looking at the pain in the world. And, you know, I'm a Canadian farm boy, you know, that was very, you know, ultimately naive. You know, I didn't grow up in this area. And then week after week after week, I saw the heartache of people that were churched. 90% of the clients that I ever had in this whole entire area had gone to Christian churches when they were, you know, when they had grown up. But, you know, they weren't walking with God. A lot of them didn't know who God was. They didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know the power of the gospel. And then, you know, I just remember the times when I started to hear crazy things, things that are almost unspeakable. Like I would never say it here in Sunday morning, even with children present and stuff like that. And I'm just like, my whole world was shattered about what's going on out there behind closed doors, and the pain and the demonic. And, you know, I always remember the one guy that, he was just at his wit's end. He was suicidal. And he came to me after he started to trust me a little bit, and I felt like the Lord had such a heart for him. And I just remember he started to share. He said, last night, he said, I blacked out, and I woke up under my couch. He said, I wasn't doing drugs. He said, the whole room was destroyed, and I woke up underneath my couch. Now, the couch, you know, was tall enough so that he could still breathe under there, but he was underneath the couch, and he said, can you tell me what happened? He says, this is what I don't talk to anybody about. What happened? Well, when he started talking about it, I knew for sure it was the demonic manifestation. And come to find out, he was deeply involved in Dungeons and Dragons and did all kinds of role-playing kind of things. And he said, whenever I get stressed out, I start to feel a claw on my back right here. And it's like something squeezing down on me. And one time when I shut the door, And I came back, you know, he had left the door open, and I noticed this demonic tattoo right there in his neck where he said he gets clawed, you know, kind of a thing. And I said, what is that? Oh, he says it's a Dungeons and Dragons symbol or something of that kind. And I started to realize, I mean, I this close to leading him to Jesus, one time when I felt the Lord said, press in on him now. You know, this is not, you know, counseling stuff. You know, this is the power of the gospel, though. This is Jesus loving people and pulling them. And I said, are you ready to he was in this job when he wasn't in the hospital, you know, on suicide watch. He had a carpentry job, and these guys were talking to him about Jesus. And then he ended up in counseling through EAP, and he ended up with, you know, a guy like me. And so I said, are you ready to give your heart to Jesus? And he talked so quiet, and he said, no. I'm close, but I'm not ready yet. And I couldn't do a thing about it. I mean, you know, I can't change the man's heart. He just wouldn't quite do it, you know? And I remember another man from Goshen that just a small little, he had gotten in trouble for smoking pot. And he had to do these EAP counseling sessions so that he could retain his job. So I went to bat for him. You know, I called human resources, and I was doing everything it could for him, because all he had in life, he was completely estranged from his family. All he had was these two little straggly little boy and girl, and they were his life. And he, you know, he's barely surviving. The only reason that he hadn't done away with himself is because he had to be there for his two little kids. And I remember talking to him. I remember his name. I remember his mannerisms. I remember how sad and depressed he is. And he's just barely surviving. And one morning I woke up, in bed, and I was thinking about him. I had him that day, and I started just weeping with an anguish. And all I could think about was this man. And I went for like 15 minutes, and I'm wailing and weeping, and I've never done this before. And I remember my wife saying, what is wrong? I said, it's okay, I'm okay. But I just felt God's heart for this one man. And just this intercession, and he too. You know, I never saw him make a decision for Jesus. I gave him every opportunity in the world. And I was remembering all these things. I remember when I took a Theophostic manual when I was kind of really young in it, and this particular lady whose husband was doing these terrible, perverse things, unspeakable things, and she was just devastated, and she had her own things going on. I said, "Well, listen, I pulled the manual out like this, and I said, I got something here, and I want to talk to you about it." And as soon as I brought the book around, she manifested a demon, and her chair went straight back into the wall at the back. And I was really young and green in this, and I'm staring at her, and she's going like this, hyperventilating, and I can see the contortion. And this is all I could say. I said, "Are you okay?" And she goes, "No. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that. What is that?" She was pointing at the manual. It wasn't even the Bible. It was a prayer ministry manual. And I started to see the power of the gospel. And God is basically, he's reminding me, but I felt this for this house today. I felt this all week. He says, "Don't forget my gospel. Don't forget what I want to do." And you know, and then last night, those of us that went to Todd White, I mean, my goodness. I mean, the man's a living epistle wherever he goes, you know. He told a story of casting out, one of the stewardesses that he, on an airplane, he witnessed to them all. It was a long flight, you know. It was kind of one of those things where like, oh my goodness, here this guy comes again. And he'd never told the cook, I might mess this up a bit, that he appreciated the food, and he just wanted to go thank her, and she just started hollering at him and screaming at him and raging at him, and he was like, "Don't you talk to me about Jesus." So he went in the bathroom and was, you know, I can't remember what he did in there, and the Lord said, "Confront her now. Confront her now." And so he went out and he says, you talked to the wrong man. I can't remember how it went, but the point was, in front of the crew, she manifested a demon. And he had a word of knowledge that her dad had died when she was a young girl. And the pastor said that it was God that killed her dad, basically. And as soon as he dealt with the demon, I think she fell into his arms. Somebody help me. Okay, I'm getting nods here. But the point is he did that. And those are the kind of things, you know, this living epistle. This is what God's calling all of us to. It doesn't matter what position that we're in. And I want to read from Jude 3. Or let me say this first. God does not automatically give his best to any generation. King David longed for a resting place for the Lord in his presence. King David's passion demonstrated this. He said, a mighty man of authority, a king of a nation, with all the intoxication that we see in leaders, like from the book of Daniel and from other places, how they get so full of themselves. King David had this power. He was a mighty warrior. He was a man that could take a sword into battle and survive, and so on and so forth. But he said, there's only one thing I desire. Just one thing. With all the things, I mean, King David did make mistakes in his authority, but at the core of his heart, he wanted a resting place for God. He wanted to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord in the temple. He wanted to have this fascination with the God of glory. He wanted to know who God was, and that's what he gave his heart to. No matter what we're called to, God desires that we're full of his power. And so I started reading the book of Acts, and I started realizing how simple this actually is. And the enemy does not want you to understand the simplicity of manifesting the gospel. And you know what keeps us mostly from it? Fear, and also somewhat of lack of knowledge of who you are, and we also struggle with risk of stepping out and doing things for the, just, you know, praying for people or something like that. I was sitting beside a man last night. My wife had sat beside him first. There was a line to go in. When we got in, we had our kids and everything. And she heard him. He had prayed for his uncle who had broken his neck. And he had just prayed for his uncle and said, can I pray for you? And his uncle, in about a week, the pain left, and he took his thing off. He quit taking his meds. He went back to the doctor, and the doctor was astonished. His neck was healed. So, you know, I've had some stuff going on in my physical body, and Steph said, trade places with me. So I started talking to him, and he was from some IHOP in Kalamazoo, some area there, and he was just saying how, he says, you know what? This is so worth it, releasing the power of the gospel. He said, because, you know, we fear the reaction if nothing happens, but that is nothing compared to when something happens. You know, when God releases his power. And he said, we were just in the Menards over there, and he said, we found somebody, you know, kind of crutching along. They had sciatic problems and a pain in their hips. And he said, we just went and asked if we could pray, and all the pain left. They just, and then they came to the meeting. And it's like God is saying, guys, it's time to wake up to the reality, not wake up in a negative sense, but wake up to who you are, to who we are. This is what we're after. Jude 3 says, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt necessary to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered or handed down to all the saints. Now, Jude is actually dealing with reprobates. You know, I dealt with this on Tuesday night, but with guys coming in and sowing the doctrine of licentiousness into the churches, basically says that go ahead, because of what Jesus has done for you, you can sin freely. But what he's saying here actually is to contend for the faith that was once delivered. This is only a few decades after the birth of the church. And they're already contending for the faith once delivered. Now, where do we sit? You know, a couple thousand years later. You know, it's starting to come back. The full gospel reality is starting to come back. This is the season we find ourselves in. And God doesn't want us to just let it pass us by. I have this fire in my belly for each one of you sitting in here today, young and old, no matter where you're at or where you've been or where you've challenging, that it's time to release the power of the gospel. It really is. One of the standards for just beginning to realize what you're called to is the book of Acts. I'm going to read a lot of scripture right now for a few minutes here. Acts 6:5 says, as the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen. They were finding somebody to help make sure that the widows from the different groups were getting all their food. And so the apostles prayed and said, we got to keep giving ourselves to prayer and the word. And so we want some other men of excellence that can make sure everybody's getting their stuff and getting their due. And so Stephen was chosen. And it says that he was a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, he wasn't one of the leaders, per se, the apostolic leaders. He was serving tables. But what he was actually doing, he was so full of grace and power that he was releasing the kingdom of God in people's midst. He was doing unusual signs. So I can see him coming up to a table, making sure everything's good, seeing somebody that needs a touch from the Lord, going over, laying hands on them, and they suddenly are healed and raised up, and the signs and wonders, during this time, Peter was walking by, and they would try to get people into his shadow so that they could be healed by the power of God. The idea is that God was releasing his kingdom in full dimension. And this is what God is after for the body of Christ. The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the glory of the former house. That's what the Bible prophesies. So where are we at in that reality? What I feel like God is saying is, don't let this pass you by. You know, in all you're getting oil, getting intimacy with me, with the Lord, I'm also going to engage you wherever you're living, whatever you're doing, whatever your calling is, to release my power into people's lives. And so often we do it. I was thinking about me. You know, I was over the healing rooms for quite a while. And then, we felt like the Lord wanted Londa to be over the healing rooms for a while. And then I was thinking about it the other day. She's talked to me on and off about this here and there. But I was like, I can't remember the last time I actually prayed in the healing rooms. And I was like, why not? What's going on? It's almost like I had this awakening. When I was in the counseling reality, you know, I'm speaking personally here, but I want you to think about yourself, what God is calling and stirring you up in. I was thinking about the counseling realities. How many demons showed up and casting out demons? You know, these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out demons in my name. And, you know, over the years, on and off, you know, there's been the demonic manifestations. But, you know, when I was in a secular setting, God kept sending the real intense people in there. I mean, I remember the woman that was bigger than me, more muscular than me. She could take me down, you know. I'm a hockey player, but, I would be a little bit timid if she got mad at me. And she dressed that way. And the reason she did, I found out, was because of abuse from her childhood. But the point was, is she said, I am a witch. And she did things. She wrote things over where I parked. She found out where I was parked and she wrote signs to me. I mean, there was all these demonic things going on that could cause a lot of fear. There was times when I started in on inner healing some stuff with her, and she was starting to cry, and all of a sudden she threw, I can't remember what she had in her hand, she threw it down, threw the chair aside, and opened the door and is walking down the hall. And, you know, I got these other therapists in there. So one of them was a New Age therapist, another one was just, you know, normal therapist, you know, kind of a thing. And they're always like, what are you doing in there? What is going on, you know? And, you know, the only thing I could think of, she's walking down the hall. I said, are you coming next week? You know, I did. I said that. I have no idea why. And she came next week, and actually she was addicted to crystal meth. And guess what day God delivered her? September 11th. She was sitting there watching the towers and what was happening. And she said, what am I doing? She said, Jesus, help me. And she was instantly delivered of crystal meth. I mean, this is the power of the gospel. We can't back off of this stuff. So Stephen was performing wonders and signs among the people. Some men from what was called the synagogue of freedmen, including both those guys, and they rose up and they argued with Stephen. But when they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking, they started to come against him. And fixing their gaze on them, all who were sitting in the council saw his face. It was like the face of an angel. You know what I feel like God is saying right now? He said, I don't care where you're called into. He says, I don't care what you're doing right now. If you're just you're at home right now, you're raising kids or you're doing things like that. He says, I want you to start to think with me and dream with me about releasing the power of the gospel. There's people in the room today. I feel like God is saying, maybe not the next time you go to the grocery store, but one of the times he says, I'm going to show you somebody. And I just want you to tell them that I love them. And step through the stuff. The rejection is no longer time for the rejection. I mean, I'm a little timid about what God's going to ask me to do. You know, I really am, because I wrestle with God a lot. Sometimes I obey and sometimes I don't. But the point is, it's time to go forward. And he wants to release his power. The glory of God is going to rest in the body of Christ in the days ahead. We're going to be attractive to people that are broken and seeking truth. And we are going to be weird to the world, because we are so full of love. We're so full of unity. We're so full of servanthood. It's so contrary to human wisdom. And we're releasing the power of God. They're not going to be just as amazed about the power, though, because there's going to be false signs and wonders and false prophets that are doing those things. But we can't stop doing those things, because that's the kingdom of God. But we don't just do them because they're exciting. It's because we love him and he loves his people. That's where we're at. So they end up taking Stephen, and he speaks to them. They take him in front of, I can't remember where, but he preaches a sermon, and then right at the end he basically rebukes them and they get all fired up. And you know how Stephen is, you know, Stephen doesn't even blink. He doesn't even think about the fact that he's going to lose his life. He's going to get stones. You know what he sees? He looks up. He says, look, I see Jesus standing up at the right hand of the Father. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand. What causes Jesus to stand up? Because he's looking at his lovesick servant that's about ready to give his life for him. And Jesus is standing up and he's looking. And Stephen is just gazing on them, and you know, he's killed, passed away. He didn't retreat anything. He didn't even think, man, you know, what about my retirement, God? What about the things that I thought that I could do in life and this and that? He just gave his life away. And he was so consumed with the supernatural reality. That doesn't mean that, of course, that doesn't mean that you don't focus on your retirement or anything like that. I'm just saying that at the end of the day, Jesus has to be the first thing in our lives. And then you got guys like Philip. You know, after Stephen was martyred, they started scattering everywhere. But they went and they preached the gospel. And this is how they did it. You know, some of us say, I don't know how to do stuff like that. Listen to God. That's it. When you start to get stirred and you start to obey the voice of the Lord and the nudges and stuff like that, you start to realize God is doing these things. And just even if you bless somebody, you pray for somebody, they're not healed, go for it anyway. But this is what God spoke to Philip, saying, get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So Philip hears, go here. God didn't say, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. He went to the road. He went down to the desert road. It says, so he got up and went. And there was a Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, and he was sitting in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, so God starts talking again. He says, go up and join this chariot. So Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how could I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture he was reading was this. He was like a sheep. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, please tell me, of whom does this prophet say this? Of whom or of someone else? I mean, the eunuch is asking questions. And God will set you up so that you don't always have to feel like you got to, you know, some people start feeling pressure and they go, I got to go pray for every person in the grocery store. No, you don't. No, you don't. Ask God what he's thinking. Ask God if there's somebody in there that he wants you to minister to. If you start being willing to do those things, God will start to bring you to people and he'll set things up. Sometimes he'll set you up so they reject you. Then you can just overcome that and keep going. I mean, sometimes that's the way it goes. Sometimes you're going to, you know, demons will manifest. You know, the Todd story, he's in the bathroom. If that happened to me, I would have slunk back to my seat and I would have said, whoa, I really missed that. God said, go confront that woman. I mean, you know, the only boldness for doing any of that is communion with God. That's the bottom line. So don't feel like the devil will try to tip you over and to condemning you everywhere you go. You know, I got to go to this gas. I'm filling gas. I got to pay for everybody's gas and I got to go pray for healing for everybody. No, you don't. You just have to listen to God. And so God set Philip up. And then it says, he asked him, who is this? Philip opened his mouth and beginning from the scripture, he preached Jesus to him. That's all he did. As they went along the road, they came to some water and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Philip isn't pressing him into anything. You see that? He's not pressing him and directing. It's like the guy's like, can I be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop and they both went down to the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord had snatched Philip away. And the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. So this idea, the eunuch, you know, to him, this is the gospel. This is the power of God. And you know what? We are to contend for this faith that is once delivered. God will give things to those that will step out of the boat and they'll keep their eyes fixed on him. Like Peter stepped out of the boat and he was going towards Jesus. And some of us could come negative on Peter because he started looking at his circumstance. He fell. Well, no one else came out of the boat. Peter at least tried and he went forward. And you know, after Peter was the one in Acts chapter 2 that was full of boldness after just denying Jesus just weeks prior to that. And 3,000 came into the fold that day in Acts chapter 2. They were cut to the quick inside of them. And so, you know, this is easy stuff. The eunuch, he's rejoicing because of what God has done for him. He probably is not even thinking about that Philip disappeared. You know what I mean? He's rejoicing because of what Jesus did, that he has Jesus. Apostle Paul even, you know, he was persecuting. He was there when Stephen died, you know? And he started to get real zealous in his persecution. But at the end of it, Paul, we know what happened to Paul, his Damascus Road encounter. But there was a man that God spoke to. His name was Ananias. And Jesus says, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying and he has seen a vision. A man named Ananias coming and laying his hands on him so he might regain his sight. And Ananias said, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he did for your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind up who call on your name. There's a little bit of fear there, right? Sounds like me. Sounds like you probably, you know. It's kind of like one of those things. But the Lord doesn't say anything. But the Lord said to him, he just says, go. For he is a chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So Ananias departed, entered the house. After laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales. And he regained his sight and got up and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. Now in heaven's economy, heaven knows who Ananias is. You know what I mean? We don't hear anything more about Ananias. But, you know, for some of us, the simplest obedience can have such a catalytic result in people's lives. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do. It's, you know, some people say, if I have to get words of knowledge, or I have to do this, or I have to cast all these demons out, or whatever. No, it's sometimes just manifesting love. I've told this story before, but it impacted me so much, and now I realize why it did, because when I first came to Voice, and I was first, you know, around the group there, we were called in the prayer room, and Danny and Bob were there, and Jerry, and, you know, I was really kind of still shy, and you know, I hadn't really, you know, done anything in ministry yet. And this guy, we were told to pray for this guy. I can't remember who he was, but he was dressed in black. He was a biker guy. And, you know, he looked like one of those, you know, those guys that are pretty intense. And so we're praying for him, and I'm just kind of waiting, and people are praying, and I felt like the Lord said, go hug him. And I thought, no way. Now, the first reason is because I didn't know what Bob and Denny would think of me and Jerry and, you know, the other people there. But God said, go hug him. And then I thought, what's this guy going to do? I mean, he could just shove me or whatever, you know, but go hug him. And I felt it so strong. So I went and hugged him like this. And he was like uncomfortable. And then I felt like the Lord say, hold on to him. Don't let go. Oh, no. You know, literally, I felt that, oh, no, because this is weird. This is, you know, everything like that. And I held on to him probably for 30 seconds, which is an eternity, you know, hugging somebody that doesn't want to be hugged, so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, his shoulder started to shake, and these big crocodile tears started to come out. And he just received from all of us kind of a thing after that. But the Lord said, he needs to know my love. He needs to know that I accept him, kind of a thing. And that's just, it could be as simple as that, as hugging somebody. Now you might have, I mean, God might not tell you to hug strangers in public, maybe. Maybe he will, I don't know. But the point is start asking the Lord, what is it you want me to do to release the gospel? All right, worship team, you might as well come on up. I guess I just feel like the Lord wants us, if there's anybody here that wants to be energized in God, you know, just filled with the Spirit, and just so that you can go forward. Why don't I have the team come up right away, the pastoral team and healing team, and just people that can minister. Just have you up here right away. And I just to be energized in the things of God. Wherever you've come from, are, you know, some of the things that God wants you to do is start remembering what he's done for you, where he's been at in your life, how he saved you, some of the things that he's spoken over you. And just come up right now. We're just going to release worship, and just come and let somebody bless you. We're going to just release the Holy Spirit to fill us up today. And so if that's you right now, or if you haven't ever been touched by the Holy Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit, just come up right now. And we're just going to have a time in the Lord and just to be energized in him. So, Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, for your mercy. Lord, we just even now release your anointing right now. We release your gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. In him crucified, we release the power of God upon your people right now. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would have your way right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. you know, I'm just kind of sensing, instead of making it like an altar call, you don't have to if you don't want to. Why don't you just come up right here and just walk down this aisle and just walk through here and just let the team just lay hands on you. We just want to fill you up with God. You don't have to if you don't want to. Yeah, we can just do one of those fire tunnels and just come through and just let God bless you today. This is the body of Christ. This is just the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Strengthen you. And you don't have to come if you don't want to, but why not? Just come on in. We're just let the worship team just have... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we release healing in bodies right now, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Fill them up, God. Fill them up in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, just breathe on them right now. Just breathe on them right now in Jesus' name. Just breathe on them right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord. Thank you, Lord. Broken hearts mended in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Let the fire of His presence just touch you right now, in Jesus' name.
Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power.
There's power in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.